Welcome to another episode of Goose Talks. Today's guest is Ritte. She is a Lithuanian living in Norway for the past 18 years and currently working at Enterprise Estonia. We will be discussing Norway's economy, the performance of key sectors, and the intricacies of Norwegian public procurement, especially for foreign companies and SMEs. Ritte has over 2 decades worth of knowledge in procurement, especially in building and construction, and 7 years in trade. So, let's have a good listen. Welcome, Ritte. Would you please give us a brief introduction of yourself?
Hello. As you mentioned, I am Ritte, export advisor for Enterprise Estonia in Norway in 4 years and a few months right now.
So as I understand, you've been in Norway for 18 years.
Yes, it's like life sentence already. Yeah, it is. It's a long time. But I love it. That's why I'm staying here.
So going to the business, how is Norway's economy currently performing?
If we can start from a little bit from what about Norway, right? Norway, you know, is the modern and energy-rich country and one of the richest in the world as such. In Northern Europe, obviously, and have bordering with Sweden, Finland, and even Russia. With almost 6 million in population, it's covered about 324,000 square kilometers. It's one of the sparingly populated countries in Europe. And it's narrow and mountainous country as well. Rich of the natural resources, as you know, petroleum and hydropower, fish, forests, minerals, everything. Norwegian's economy is combining of free market and government intervention and is actually doing quite well, even in the crisis compared to other countries in Europe. As I say to my kids, that if we need to survive a crisis, we need to do it in Norway because it's really a good country to do it. They have the power, they have the money, they have the mechanism to minimize the crisis consequences. So yes, they're doing quite well.
And the businesses, I understand, are doing quite well as well.
Yes, the picture is actually a little bit mixed, let's say in that way. Because, for example, some industries like construction not going that well, like it was 2 or 3 years ago, because of the falling demand for housing, because of the increasing bank interest, as I think there are many countries in Europe as well. But it's still doing okay compared to Nordic neighbors. Consumption of goods also decline, but they still keep quite strong. In last month, 2023, the Norwegian Bank finally stopped increasing the interest, and now the optimism in the country, in the economy, is actually boosting. So now already the prices for the housing start to increase. So this is a good point. And my main background is from the procurement and building construction. That's why I will put this sector a lot of as example, because I know that.
When you talk about smart health, smart cities, green economy and ICT that are focusing Goose, are there any differences between them? You talked about construction currently. Does smart cities somehow tie into this, perhaps?
Yes, absolutely. Because... like, I know, like 78% of Europe lives in the cities, and Norway's heating this with the good 7%, they are 9 almost percent. 87% of population living in the cities because of the mountains and natural geographical things. In the smart cities, for the foreign companies and for Norwegian companies, is the main opportunities in terms of smart upgrade of infrastructure, technology and services, like transport, buildings, energy, ICT. For example, let's talk about Oslo, with population about 700,000. It can extend very easily to 2 million if we take surrounding areas around Oslo. And there's a wide range of smart city projects in Oslo, from using the all electric buses, that is reality. And they had issues last winter, because it's really heavy winter, very cold. They had some issues to charging the batteries quick enough. So maybe we have a solution for that. Why not? Oslo is waiting for that. They really had problems. For example, zero emission construction cities or circle-based waste management, green systems. As one of the first sustainability procurement managers in the building sector, I follow this trend quite closely. One of my favorite topics is the use of building materials. Here is one example how this system actually works in Norway. About 10 years ago, when one of my friend, a Norwegian architect, began to talk about the reuse of old building materials, most of us laughing on him. 3 years ago, I brought him on the stage in Tallinn together with Estonian minister to talk about this and to show the example. 2 years ago, they built a big stock in the Oslo for materials for reuse. Now the stock is too little and it's not enough materials for reuse. And not enough of that. But now, for example, for the all buildings that will be demolished, they need to do the analysis what can be reused. And the most of the new buildings need to be designed in the sense that reuse will be easy in 50 years or 20 years or 100 years. So this is how the system works actually in Norway. So if you have any interesting solution how to reuse materials or how to do newer materials from the old materials, welcome to Oslo.
Are there any differences in regions when we talk about Norway? It's surprisingly large or long in that sense. So Oslo is one part of it, but you can take 3 hours to another spot. Does it make a difference?
Yes, it makes some difference because the regions are very kind of very self-sufficient and not concentrated at all. They can do their own decisions. Sometimes we're joking like it's like in USA, you know, the states. Not in that sense, of course, but not very very far away. So if you think about bigger cities like Oslo or Bergen or Trondheim, like it's Trondheim's call it for Silicon Valley of Norway, they're having different focuses. They have a little bit different way how to come to the same target. And this is very interesting because you can see who is winning, how it is working and what is the best. The smaller regions actually had not that good situation. They are lack of both the resources, the money, workers, enough working labor as well. So the regions are not so very popular, even in Norway doing everything with the fiscal and tax politic regulations to keep people there. I lived my first 5 years in Northwest, and now I'm living by Oslo, so I see the difference. And I love both parts, let's say that way. But yeah, there is the difference. For export or import for the trade, I would say that if your solution are not very to the like big cities, please go to the regions. They are much more open. They have much more money. They that have not so big interest from abroad, so you may have less competition there.
But let's say I'm a foreign company. How am I eligible to participate in public procurements?
First of all, it need to be an international procurement tender. You have two different tenders in Norway, both the local and the international. All international tenders you can easily find on this TED platform. And then as a foreign company, you need to have the right profile. You need to have, but it's nothing about the you be international. You can be Spanish, you can be Norwegian company. As long as you have the fit to the requirements. You have enough capital if it's necessary. You have the right profile. You meet the requirements. Then it's totally okay. So it's not a big difference between the international and Norwegian companies. As long as you meet those requirements, and they can be totally different. I mean, from the tender to tender.
Do I need to speak Norwegian?
Actually, no, but preferably yes. Why? Because Norwegians still, it's not popular to say they don't like it, but they still like to buy from Norwegians. But public tenders are not allowed to do it, so to have any kind of prioritizations in that sense. But it a lot of information and supportive documentation can be in Norwegian. That can be the tricky part. And I not suggest to use the Google Translator because one wrong sentence can make you lose a tender or you win tender in the wrong situation, and you need to deliver something you don't understand what you're doing. So yes, the language is very important, But the most international tenders are in English. So no, you don't need to speak Norwegian as long as your delivery is not for Norwegian people. I mean, like, don't you need to take students talk about something. Yeah.
What you talked about, you know, two different areas of tenders. How big is the procurement market in Norway?
World scope of the procurement is quite big, and it makes between 6 and 7 billion euro every year. So this is huge. And if you think about the regulated procurement, I mean, the procurement is regulated by Norwegian law. It's even 60% of the wool procurement. So it's a really big part of that.
Are there many foreign companies going into the public procurement in Norway, as the market is really large? I assume one would really want to enter that market.
Yeah, there are quite many. Most of them finding the kind of mostly finding the way to work with some Norwegian partners and go together. But not all of them. We have really big companies here in Norway that from foreign. But of course, one thing is to come to Norwegian market. Another thing is to stay, because of the taxes and everything. So you need to be prepared not only win the tender, but how we will survive 4, 5, 10 years in Norway. This is a different thing.
So you have to actually assess if it's viable.
Exactly. I would say you really need to check what are you doing and what you want to do in Norway in 5 years or 3 years. If you want to have something that long term, if it's a frame agreement, for example, that is very popular in Norway to do frame agreements. And a lot of Estonian companies have those. So yes, my suggestion is really try to understand the Norwegian market, talk with people, come to visit country, talk with the conferences, go with Goose to visit Norway, like done last September, I mentioned before. So it's not, I say very simple, like, Norway, to come to Norway is not a sprint, it's a marathon. So be ready for that, if I can explain in simple.
We also, an episode ago, talked with Helmas, who is part of a framework as well. Is it a common way to get into the tender market with a local partner in Norway?
Yes, yeah, it's very common, actually. And I would say about 80% of the foreign companies coming to Norwegian market, especially for a long time, especially, they do with Norwegian partners. In the most ways, it works very well. Sometimes it doesn't, but it's, I think it's a common practice as well. So I not suggest to necessarily find the Norwegian market, Norwegian partner, sorry. I suggest to really understand if you need them, and if you need them, what value they give to. It's not only to look more sufficient, more close to Norway. They need to do their part of work. And this is a very tricky part, because some people think that only Norwegian partners is enough. No, it's not enough. You need to find the right partners.
Mm-hmm. The Norwegian partners or Norwegian companies, are they willing to take on a partner? For example, Helmas is from Estonia and they gained their trust. But in general, in your view, are the companies willing to take somebody on board?
Yes, they actually do, because they have no choice. They're not producing a lot. They're not self-sufficient country. So there's a lot of actually import coming to Norway from all the countries for the services and things and everything. So this, yes, they do. They are quite careful to choose this overprotected market. So they really think 10 times before they choose someone. Supply assessment is like, every day business here. They do it very seriously. So my suggestion, as I've done thousands of them before in my job, be prepared for that. And if they ask you about your even economical situation, don't be afraid. Just try to understand why they ask and show the papers. Because at once you start to say no and try to hide something, it will make you them suspicious. So this is try to understand how the system works here in Norway.
So going more towards public tenders, are there any guidelines from SMEs on how to find or identify those opportunities?
I would say, the most easier way, as I mentioned before, of course, to go to the Goose project, the homepage. There you can find everything, not only the tender platform like Tether, Dauphin. You will find also the market overview to understanding good advices, people can help you. Yes, use this one, or you just go Google Dolphin and Dolphin and Ted. Dolphin is for the all Norwegian tenders. Ted is only it's European. Only that part that is international is there. What I always suggest actually to Estonian companies, because I work with Estonia, really use this platform as a good training. Look closely actually on the previous and nowadays tenders for in your sector. Try to understand what are the regulations, what are the requirements, how to meet them, and who is and who was the winners and the losers. Then you can really map your potential competitors or cooperation partners in that sense. Because when you decided to go to the tender and give the best winning offer, believe me, you have no time to do it. And afterwards, you will thank yourself very much for doing the homework in the good way. So this is my suggestion, actually, to find the what is open for the bidders. And remember that Norway is very, very transparent country. You know everything. You can even read the questions from the previous bidders about the what and the regulation, all the possible questions. And if you win, you can be asked actually to show to the other bidders your offer. It also it sounds very, very strange for the most of European companies. I know that by heart, but it is how it works. It's very, very clear and transparent system.
Should a company entering the market, you know, assuming I'm willing to do the homework, hire somebody from Norway to do that for them, or one should do it on their own? Or is there a difference in time or cost, obviously, but in general?
You can't ask someone to do it for you. Then it should be your cooperation partner, or you open your own filial, the company in mm-hmm. Norway with the Norwegian registration number. But what you can do, you can always ask some consultancy companies, mostly Norwegian, to look at the tender, to talk with you, to help you to do the offer, to make the offer, not to do it for you. But it should be worth it. I mean, like, it's really expensive to do it. So to use those typical, really good consultancy companies. But if you decided to do it, choose the best ones, my suggestions. If you use the money, use for something, it's worth it. But you can do your own. You can find someone that have some experience and ask them about to understand. The main thing is actually to really follow all the procedures to the punctum. Like not doing this, it's until 12 today, so I can do it tomorrow and 8 in the morning. No. If it's closing today 12, it's closing today 12. If you forgot to something, it doesn't help to go there. So really be very careful. And if I may also suggest or advise, when you do your offer, do just exact the minimum of what they ask about. Even if you have 10 times better solution or the product, you will lose it. Because if in slight different things you offer than they ask it, it can exclude you of the tender. So it's very important to give the exactly what they ask, or as close as possible, and or the minimum. Why the minimum? Because your competitors will do so. So be smart. And in my many years experience in procurement, it's very rare that you will deliver what they ask it about. Because after you win in the process, you work together with them, you find the best solution, and things change. But then you need to win that, right?
So it's not set in stone in that sense.
No. So what you're winning on is not necessarily well delivered.
What challenges do foreign companies face when participating in public procurements in Norway?
I think I mentioned it already, this overprotective market. Mm-hmm. They still love to buy from Norwegians. Language, you mentioned it on your own, because of the information and documents in Norwegian. Very rare international tenders ask to deliver in Norwegian, only the local ones, but still. And also to understand those requirements, as I mentioned. So though the challenges, they are not the big, but you need to really work on them and be ready to win. believe in yourself. Try to understand who is your competitors, why they win or lose this time to come next time. Yeah.
So let's say I'm a company or you have a company, it doesn't really matter, and you're coming from abroad. What would be the first step for me to take to enter the market?
Okay, first you need to understand why you want to come to a Norwegian market, let's say in that way. Because if you want to come just for the money and you think that everything is very expensive here, you're not right. Norwegians are keen of procurement. They know the prices, they know the price level. So if you want to come to Norway because you have something really different, something interesting to offer, or something that is of demand, yes, then you're on the right way, not because it's expensive or because it's a lot of money in the country. When you understand why, you need to see what they have in Norway and compare your product solution or technology to what exists. When you've done this homework, then and you're still on the positive vibe, then you go to those tender platforms and try to understand actually what they ask it about. Can you deliver that? Can you meet the requirements, for example, of the capital or of the references? Because some ask about very specific reference as well. So we need to have that. And I understand Norway, understand yourself, and from that you can start, because then you can start to, everything fits well, you can start to use the money, you can talk with the consultancy companies, or you can take a export manager on board, or yeah, it's different ways to do it. But first of all, really understand what are you doing and why.
So have clear goals in your mind when coming, and just not being like, oh, I'm after the money, because that
exactly
doesn't fly.
It doesn't work in that way. They have most of what they can buy for money in the most countries, I think so, especially with this good phone they use a lot. But they're still very, very interesting in the new things, in the things that are sustainability focus on. So if you have something, that idea that can help to not only save the money, but save the nature, save people work, do the difference, then you're more than welcome.
But do Norwegians have a preference? You said, of course, a preference of quality, but do they have a preference of like, oh, we like to work with Germans, or in this case, work with Estonians? Or there's no difference at all, as long as you have the quality, you have the right price?
You are totally right. As long as you have quality, right price, they buy from you. But in their mind, as a natural, I think, in all of us, they connect somehow, for example, German with very good industry, with the very quality. They connect, for example, Finland with also good metal industry. They connect Estonia, obviously, of the technologies and IT solutions. That is like the first that came to mind. So yes, they have references, but they are not difficult to overwin. I mean, even you're coming from Spain, for example, and you want to sell IT solution, they not excuse you because you're not Estonian in that sense, no. But if you're Estonian, maybe they look closely, more close to you, because they believe that Estonia has already been at this quite high level. So yes, possibilities are there.
Okay, Rita, thank you for this short but really informative talk.